One thing I'm trying to figure out here is we're in day three of the period in which the Texans can put the franchise tag and keep Clowney for around $18-19 million for a one-year deal. What about the other highly sought-after defensive players in the NFL this offseason? DeMarcus Lawrence from the Cowboys, who's been a better pure pass rusher the last couple of years for Dallas. If they don't put the franchise tag on him, let's say Lawrence hits the open market, there are going to be teams that are very interested in a guy like that. The Colts have a ton of cap space. The Jets have a ton of cap space. There are teams who want a guy like that. Let's say he gets a really, really big deal. How does that affect what Clowney is going to be negotiating for here in Houston?
If DeMarcus Lawrence is playing under the tag, or excuse me, if DeMarcus Lawrence is out there on the market and Clowney's sitting here just playing under the tag, your best value for Clowney, if you want to lock him down to a long-term deal, is right this moment.
Right now.
As soon as DeMarcus... Did I say... why?
You're good.
All right, I did. DeMarcus, I got the names right.
Good.
All right.
You're good.
If DeMarcus, so this is the problem. If DeMarcus Lawrence hits the market, he's going to get a huge deal. It'll likely be bigger than Aaron Donald's and Khalil Mack's, given that he's a free agent and that it's 1 year more of cap inflation. Then, yeah, that's going to increase what Clowney thinks he's worth. And rightfully so, the precedent will be set. So it doesn't mean he's worth as much as DeMarcus Lawrence in free agency, but that's going to affect them. Their best deal is right now, and it's all a question of, okay, how much do they trust his injuries? I'm more and more thinking about what you think, Mike, which is it's all about long-term durability at this point. And I wonder how his knee actually does look. Can somebody please, like, violate HIPAA laws and go find an actual MRI, a recent MRI of Jadeveon Clowney's knee? Is he bone on bone at this point? This is what you fear with a long-term knee injury. Because he had cartilage damage, he had the microfracture. Does he have, even though he's been healthy and he's been out there and he's practiced, they've treated him with kid gloves. He barely participated in training camp last year. Is he in a situation where they have to be extremely careful with his knees all the time because he's bone on bone?
Well, Thick J. Anderson, I still love that nickname that Paul bestowed upon him, says once you have a knee, you always got a knee. To your point, though.
But that's not always true.
I don't even know if it's true.
Right. Well, there are guys like Frank Gore had two ACL injuries. If you don't, with the ACL injury, it's all about cartilage damage.
Yes.
If you don't have cartilage damage, it usually goes really, really well. You can have an ACL injury, and if you tear a bunch of your meniscus, then you don't end up with a cushioning between your knees. That's a big deal. So I wonder exactly how healthy Jadeveon Clowney's knee that had multiple operations done to it. How healthy is that?
This is a big question because McClain was in here on Wednesday and reiterated numerous times the Texans do not have any issues with Clowney from a work ethic standpoint. They recognize that people handle their business and their work ethic differently. So this actually makes sense. If the Texans are thinking to themselves, hey, we like Clowney as a player a lot. We really like Clowney as a player. He's one of our four best football players, but we're not convinced that he's going to stay healthy long term. Then the franchise tag makes sense in going year to year.
Right.
And because no matter if you pay a guy $90 million for a year, ultimately if it's only for a year, it doesn't really matter long term because if that guy gets hurt, then you get out of that contract and you're fine. Because I have said, and I will reiterate, for me, if you're confident in Clowney's durability, I would give him a long-term deal now. But the reason to not give him a long-term deal, the only reason for me, is if you have serious questions about durability. That part, I get that part.
Jamie Sharper, this story just occurred to me. This is kind of related. Don't worry, I'm staying on point.
I like Jamie Sharper.
Jamie Sharper was a very good football player. Very, very good football player. The linebacker who played here came off of winning a Super Bowl with the Ravens, came to Houston, and he was here for the first 4 years of the franchise, I think. But he had knee injuries. And I don't know if he ever had an ACL, but he had knee injuries and knee surgeries, and it got to the point where his knee would just swell up on him, and you couldn't trust at any given moment when is he going to be available and healthy, because you're still a good player, but his knee would swell up on him. He'd have to get it drained multiple times a year because he had cartilage issues. So Jamie, in one of his final years, took a visit out to Seattle when he was a free agent. And, you know, Jamie was a good dude, but who also loved to have a good time. And on the way home out of Seattle, he asked the pilot of the jet. I wouldn't advise this as, like, the right move to do. He said, hey, instead of going back to Houston, can you just take me to Vegas? Like, yeah, we can take you to Vegas. So they took him to Vegas, and he got dropped off in Vegas on his way home from his trip.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's a strong move.
So,
I would not have had the guts to have suggested that, I don't think.
No, but yeah, you want to be, no, but that's where Jamie was like, I don't care what anybody thinks. He's not going to, yeah, Seth, Seth would have been like, well, look, I want to be sure that these guys know that I'm
serious?
You know, buttoned up. I'm all business. I'm always going to do the right thing. Go take me back to Houston where I will drink 2 jugs of milk and do power cleans because that's what you want to hear from me.
I'd be sitting thinking, like, does this pilot really have the authority to change the location of where we're actually
He didn't ask the pilot himself. He asked, like, the Seattle Seahawks coordinator or the travel coordinator.
Even gutsier move.
Yeah.
So we're discussing Clowney, day 3 of the period in which they can tag him. And what I'm a little bit concerned about is the market's clear right now. Two of the guys who were picked with Clowney the same year, 5 years ago, 2014, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, both set the market. They're the highest paid defensive players in the NFL. They are better at football than Clowney is. I love Clowney as a player, but he is not as productive as those guys are. He is not as impactful as those guys have been. Now, with some of the guys who may get deals this offseason, the DeMarcus Lawrences of the world, the Frank Clarks of the world, the Dee Fords of the world, if those guys got big deals, how does that affect the way the Texans are negotiating with Clowney right now?
Frank Clark, man. Frank Clark, a free agent. We've gotten to this point already. Is Frank Clark going to get a big deal? Like, when Frank Clark gets a deal, it's going to be a whole bunch of more Kareem Hunt-type chatter and whatnot.
Yes.
Because he had an incident with his girlfriend right before the draft. The Seahawks said, we don't care.
And Michigan kicked him off the team.
Right, Michigan kicked him off the team. I don't know if Frank Clark's deal, and I don't know if his play on the field is necessitated in getting him. I don't think he ends up getting the same.
He'll get a nice deal, but not a huge contract.
Yeah.
I'm sort of struggling. What do you want me to answer here?
I just basically look at this, and I want to know how these other deals are going to affect what happens with Clowney, essentially.
Okay, so the other deals, how they would affect it. Okay, well, if DeMarcus Lawrence gets the franchise tag, he's probably not going to play. He might sit out the whole season. So from that perspective, I think that would make Clowney more likely to sit out for the entire season as well if he were to get that franchise tag. If DeMarcus Lawrence goes and get himself a big deal and the Texans decide to franchise tag Jadeveon Clowney, he's also not going to be happy because he probably thinks that he's on the same level as DeMarcus Lawrence. So they're probably damned no matter what they do outside of giving him a long-term contract when it comes to Clowney's happiness. What makes sense for the Texans is to franchise tag him and play it year by year, but if you keep on playing it year by year, you run the risk of completely souring your relationship with Clowney.
This is what I wonder with Clowney. How much of it for him is personal in terms of, is he sick of playing under JJ's shadow for the last 5 years? And every time he does anything, having it be compared to JJ and hearing just whispers, because even if he's not reading the media, that's even worse because then you hear it like third hand through your cousin who's saying, you know what they're saying about you. They're saying that you don't work hard as JJ. They're saying, oh, JJ would have done it this way or, oh, JJ would have done it that way. So is there part of him that just flat out wants to be validated by the Texans? Like, obviously, it comes down to money, but the money isn't just like, hey, I want money. Sometimes it's because the money is validation. That, look, just show you appreciate me. Show that I don't have to be the perfect Boy Scout that JJ is all the time with everything and just recognize that I'm a damn good football player.
All right, how much does Clowney not like playing in the shadow of JJ Watt?
And would he actually want to get out of here because of that? Like, in his heart of hearts, is there a chance that Clowney's like, man, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of being compared to JJ every step along the way and perhaps feeling like he doesn't get his due credit.
I feel like he shouldn't, but that's easy for me to say because right. I'm not him. Because I don't compare those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't. But maybe a lot of people do.
What if you're on a radio show and it was a successful radio show, but the co-host was always pointed to as like, well, he's the reason for the resounding success. Like, let's say you were Mike and Mike.
Yes.
Let's say you were Mike and Mike and Greenberg maybe, after a while gets tired of Golic being the life of the show and at some point says, oh, I'm going to go start my own morning show. It's going to be on ESPN in the morning.
Like,
we'll be in New York City. Do you think Greenberg maybe a little bit of that had to do with him just feeling like, all right, I'm going to go do this on my own?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe Clowney wants to be the man. Maybe Clowney's tired of being the little brother.
Maybe he does. I mean, this whole
the
thing.
The big brother who's a little brother.
So the thing with this whole situation, Paul brings up a good point, is the interpersonal stuff. Okay, it's easy for us to sit here and say, hey, the Texans are worried about Clowney's long-term durability. But if you're a Clowney, like that has to be a tricky conversation because his agent's saying, hey, you're worried about long-term durability. I've been healthy over the course of the last 3 years. What more can I do to show you
exactly.
I'm going to stay healthy?
I mean, at this point, it's what is it? And then the worker bee thing comes out from Peter King on Monday, and I still wonder, where did that come from? Supposedly, it could come from somebody who's not as connected to the Houston Texans as John McClain suggested when he was with us yesterday. But at the same time, that could be coming from somebody who is in a very big-time position of power with the Houston Texans. And honestly, from what I have heard from my people, my sources, my Ravens, I have heard similar things about Clowney and just a, for whatever reason, not exactly the most fondness for him. And I can't explain it.
The one thing that I would caution is that I heard similar types of disparagements about DeAndre Hopkins before he got his big deal. Then he went and got his big deal and got even better. So I wonder if some of the hand-wringing, I don't know who's wringing the hands over there, but they might not be the actual decision makers.